You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Good Morning Football. We're live in New York City. It's Monday, May 15th. I'm Jamie Erdahl. Kyle Brandt here. Sean O'Hara here. And Peter Schrager is back.
Hey.
Peter, what's up, Peter?
Man, we just want to have you unload, right. Empty the notebook, yeah. All of the superlatives about how we want to pick your brain. Until then, time to lead block.
Lead block.
The 49ers still feeling that sting of a 31-7 loss to the Eagles in the NFC Championship game 2 weeks ago. Debo Samuel said, quote, "We lost because we played with 10 people." Jason McCourty then said, "They're still talking about this," referring back to Brock Purdy exiting the game due to injury. Last week, head coach Kyle Shanahan had this to say about their upcoming Week 13 rematch in Philadelphia.
"I am glad we're not playing Philly Week 1. I want to play them at a better time. I want to make sure our whole team's right there, and I don't like going back to Philly again. My wife's bitter about it a little bit. She didn't like her fan experience in the stands. So she's not going this time. But we felt like we didn't get to do it last time, and I'm ready to go back again."
All right, Shanny taking a little, and Mrs. Shanny taking a little jab at Philadelphia fans and life experience when you go watch a game there. Clearly that loss is still not sitting well with anyone inside the Niners organization. But how could they move forward from this? Do you think the 49ers need to get over their NFC Championship loss, a la McCourty saying, are they still talking about this?
I like this.
Okay.
I like this. I think football needs this. Okay. An era with everyone swapping jerseys and we all hang out in the offseason, we all work out together in the offseason, and we're all lovey-dovey and friends no matter what the jersey. The Niners don't like the Eagles. The Eagles don't like the Niners. And I'm okay with that. And in this case, the Niners feel like if they had Brock Purdy, they would have won that game. Mm-hmm. And they lost Brock Purdy, and I don't think any of them have said that it was because of some fluke thing. It was a real injury, and it was a great play by Hassan Reddick, who pass rushed right past a tight end trying to block the premier pass rusher in the NFC last year, and Purdy's elbow went kaput, and we could watch it a million times. But the Niners feel like they have unfinished business, and that play right there was the game. It happened early on, and if things would have gone differently otherwise. They also, you know, don't love the Eagles chirping as much as they wanted, no pun intended. And I feel like they believe that they are the powers of the NFC. So do they need to get over it? No, I say they can lean into it. Mm-hmm. I like it. I'm here for it. Everyone respects everyone. And I know we talk about the Bills and the Chiefs and how much those two organizations respect each other and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Like, I think the Niners guys, they think that they are a better team. And I remember at the Pro Bowl, I feel like a lot of those guys were there and they still weren't over it. And on record, I think Kittle talked about it and McCaffrey talked about it. And we go down the list one by one. Even Debo Samuel a couple weeks ago had that comment. And look, if you're a 49ers fan, you love this because they're coming in there and they're not sour over the loss. They're annoyed because they feel like they should have been that team. And then if you're the Eagles, mm-hmm. well, don't take it away from us. Not only did we beat you, we beat you. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to Brock Purdy. That wasn't Brock Purdy falling over his own shoelaces and having some fluke thing. We injured him with our great pass rush. So I like this. I'm here for it. I think these two teams are the class of the NFC right now. And I don't think they should get over it. I think they should lean in. And Shanahan's right. The Eagles fans are tough on opposing wives. We've heard that multiple times.
True.
And in this case, Mandy Shanahan, she didn't have a great experience. You know what? They don't want to deal with that again.
Mandy Shanahan. Oh, yeah. That rolls off the tongue. I like that name. Yeah. Mandy Shanny. What needs to be understood about this game, one of the strangest games I've ever watched. Josh Johnson got knocked out too.
Yeah.
The backup quarterback. I remember when I thought, this is so bizarre. There was talk in the commentary that they're trying to find a helmet for Christian McCaffrey so he can get the calls from the offensive court. Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Peter, I'll pick it up where you left off. I've told this story at the table before. I worked the Pro Bowl. A matter of about 4 days after this game, I'm in a three-way conversation with Kittle and Juszczyk. Mm. Now, we've all been with guys after their season, and it's always like, yeah, tough day, just not our day, couple
but
tough
I'm going
plays.
To Cabo.
Yeah. They were, the word is ashen. Mm. And I remember saying to Kittle, like, dude, that game, they couldn't even speak. It was so fresh and so raw because it wasn't a clean death in the expression. It wasn't a true thing. Now, I think it was very strange, and I hated that that happened because we saw that game coming 3 months out. We knew in October that the Niners and Eagles had it, and this was going to be the greatest NFC title game ever. I will say this. The best defense in all the land, the 49ers defense, got 31 points hung on it. 31 points. And they're running, and it's Kelce blocking people 20 yards downfield, and it's Hurts, and it's touch. 31 points. So I don't know if Brock Purdy's saying him putting 32 points on the NFC champions. There is a little part of it where let's not pretend that the Eagles won this game 16-13. And if only the Niners had some offense, they would have needed a lot of offense because this became a tough man competition in the second half. And maybe there's weird psychological things afoot with San Francisco and they thought they were broken or this defense wasn't doing much. It was not playing up to the standard. 31 points by the true NFC champion who does not have an asterisk. I hated that Purdy got hurt. I hated that Johnson got hurt. I didn't hate that the Eagles won this game. They have nothing to apologize for, but if the Niners are pissed about it, great. Let's run it back, Sean.
Yeah, it's not the Eagles' fault at all, but I do feel like we all kind of felt a little cheated after that game.
We did.
It was so much hype, so much buildup. We were talking about it ad nauseum here about, all right, the matchups from the O-line to the D-line. And when you look at this 49ers team, like when you have a good team, it's lightning in a bottle sometimes. You don't know how long you're going to be able to hold on to it. I have personal experience with this.
So yeah.
In 2007,
go on.
We beat the Patriots. We win the Super Bowl. In 2008, we were even better. Mm. That was the best football team I've ever been on.
Yeah.
In 2008. We were rocking and rolling, 11-1. Mm. And we had a mishap, and then things kind of started to spiral a little bit, and we lost to the Philadelphia Eagles at home in a divisional round playoff game. And if you bring that game up now to Tom Coughlin,
this is it.
He gets red-faced. And every single person on that team was so distraught after that game because we felt like we let it slip. And we were the best team in the NFL that year, mm-hmm. not just the NFC. And we knew if we went on the road, we were going to beat Arizona. We were going to win a Super Bowl. That was it. We were going to hang it. That loss still resonates with me and everybody else on that team, Coach Coughlin especially. And for the 49ers, they're never going to get over that game. Now, that one we lost, and we were missing a big-time player mm-hmm. in Plaxico Burress down the stretch there. But I feel even worse for the 49ers because both their quarterbacks got knocked out.
It was like ridiculous.
So it's, you know, look, it's happenstance. But I think for Kyle Shanahan, this is – great motivation for him. Every coach is always looking in the offseason, how do I motivate my team? Look, we had 13 wins last season. We hung up 45 points on the Seattle Seahawks in round one of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, all right, how do I motivate them next year? This is great fodder for him. And to be able to, hey, look, it's still burning in everybody in that locker room's heart. And I think for Shanahan, like the biggest question for him is I just feel like he's snake bitten at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like only one time since he's been in San Francisco has he had a quarterback start every single game. Mm. That was Jimmy G. Like Trey Lance has 4 career starts. 4. Like that's just amazing. And here's the list of quarterbacks he's had right here. Nick Mullins, 8 games, 2 years in a row, or in two separate
years.
Well,
that list is the most starts. And the fact that no one of recent memory is essentially last year's quarterbacks or anyone in that room is on that list. And that's frightening.
Just think about it. If he had a quarterback that could stay healthy for him, we might have a totally different narrative on Shanahan. Yeah. And he might have some different rings that go along with that flat-brimmed hat.
Mm-hmm. When this topic came up in the makeup room, then we started discussing this morning the difference between a feud and a rivalry.
Interesting.
And how the onset of a rivalry originates as a feud. And so what is this game? What is this? What are these two logos doing here? Are we just going to be a feud for a few years? Because these two teams have played each other in a smattering of regular season games over the last 30 years, but that was only the second time these two teams faced off in the playoffs. Ooh, in the playoffs.
That's surprising.
1996, they played in an NFC Championship game, and then that last year was an NFC Wildcard game. So, or excuse me, reverse that. So the fact that we are still talking about this, like, 49ers, I need you to have this game happen more often in January before we really start kind of hanging our hat on it still in May. Mm. Like, this was one time. Like, I need you to beat them again in December. I need you to play them again in January. And then next May, I feel like it really warrants the Eagles still chirping about it. We're just kind of starting to smooth over what's happening here with this hatred, if you will. There are other rivalries that are true ones that have been birthed within the NFC or the AFC that I think have built over the years. And you're like, I get that. Like, the Vikings-Saints always comes to mind. Like, that one has a lot of history over the last 20 years. This one is just the beginning, and I'm cool with it if it becomes a rivalry, but right now it's just a feud, and I don't think a feud warrants still talking about it in May. I think we need
You know what makes it unique, though? How these teams are built. They're so built in the interior lines of, like, defensive line from the Niners. It's what we do.
Yeah.
Offensive line from the Eagles. It's what we do. And I remember that 96 game. It was a wild card game, and I remember it was, like, pouring rain, and it was the same kind of thing. Those two jerseys going after it, like, so when you get robbed of that, and it's like, well, we don't even have a quarterback.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the alternative. Like, how else could the Niners be? If they just said, you know, the best team won, like, is that the way to take it? Like, I think some teams would do that. They would take the high road and maybe not.
I think it's especially bitter for them because they knew how good that team was. I don't know how many shots they get at this. Like, guys like Kittle and Juszczyk, who've been at this for years and were in the Super Bowl and had that game won. Like, how many times can you rush out, like, a Super Bowl caliber team like they had last year? That was a great team. Really good.
Yeah.
And then just poof, it's gone. And it was a great team despite being on a rookie quarterback. Like, doesn't matter.
He didn't lose a game up to that point.
Yeah, lost 10 straight at the end of the regular season. When they traded for Christian McCaffrey, I feel like the vibe on that team
were so good.
Really, we're like, really, wow, they are absolutely relevant, and they're going to kick some butt.
Well, they need a quarterback. We don't know what he could do this year.
And it was such a freak play on a quarterback. Like, it was, you know, I mean, getting your arm hit like that. And then I remember when he went over the sideline, nobody knew that he was good. That was it. He couldn't even feel the ball. And next you know, he's.
What do you think the state of the nation is with their starting quarterback next year? Like, who do you think is the guy? Which of those two?
I think it's Purdy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It should be.
I think it should be, but he's got to be healthy to do it.
I know.
My name is Jeff Garcia.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Schedule on the wall. You know, we do a lot of talk about how many hours the schedule makers put into the thing. Did they do a good job? Here I am to tell you, as I grade the schedule makers with some thoughts, they did an amazing job, and we cannot wait. And we're going to have two of them on the show later today. Before we get to that, I had some time to pick it apart. Here's some of my thoughts. Number one, the Rams sure didn't get much respect. Mm. This logo right here went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago and won. This Rams team went to Super Bowl 2017 and won the NFC.
This team still exists, Peter.
This team still exists.
I swear it does.
Primetime games. The Raiders, who have done nothing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The Broncos, who, I mean, embarrassed the schedule makers last year. Schedule makers said, hey, Broncos, here's all the primetime games, and the Broncos lost all of them last year. 1, 2, 3. The Rams, Super Bowl champions from 2 years ago. A Monday night game that is a part of, like, one of those doubleheaders that I'm still trying to figure out on ESPN. And then week 16, Thursday night versus the Saints. Two. How good have the Rams been the last decade? How about this, guys? Most regular season wins since 2017 in the NFC. Rams are second. Do they deserve a little bit more respect than being put on primetime twice? Three times less than the Raiders? I don't know. I look at all the stars they still have, and Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp, and out of just sheer respect, maybe you put a team that has won 60 games over the last 5 years on primetime more than two times. Or maybe I'm the wrong one. Maybe I'm completely off on this, and America's just over the Rams, and they've moved on, and they'd rather watch the Broncos and the Raiders three more times than them. Number two, schedule on the wall. Another thought I have here. 49ers, weird. The lone NFL playoff team with two Sunday to Thursday swings in 2023. What do I mean? The NFL's going with these Thursday night football. One of the hardest things to do is to play on a Sunday and then go play on a Thursday. There are 14 playoff teams from last year. Only one of them has to do it twice. The Niners not only have to do it one time going on a Sunday to a Thursday, then later in the season they got to do it again. Sunday, Thursday. Very little rest, very little time to prepare. The Niners have a very difficult schedule. NFL schedule makers did them no favors with two Sunday-Thursday swings.
Get your quarterbacks ready.
Yeah, well, that team, they've got plenty, and hopefully one of them is ready to go. Number three, the NFL is in on the Chicago Bears. Yes, the Chicago Bears. They had three wins last year, and yet the Bears on primetime, plenty of times this season. They are rolling them out. They're getting Sunday night games. They're getting Thursday night games. They have four primetime games, two more than the Rams, who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And this is an interesting. Three wins or fewer previous season, most primetime games. I got to give credit to our producer, Rich Goldberg. I emailed him last night. I go, gosh, the Bears for a three-win team are on a lot. Is there any comparison? The 2018 Giants, after the Giants went 20-17 and won three games, got four. Then the Commanders had three. This is all since 2000. That is a ton of faith. You're not only putting in Justin Fields, but you're putting in Matt Eberflus.
Yep.
You're putting in DJ Moore. And I think you're putting in the city of Chicago. That's what it is. That's a major media market. And the NFL schedule makers are looking at it saying, this guy's exciting. Probably the most exciting quarterback this team has had in 30 years. Let's get him on the field. Let's see what he's got. And let's put them on primetime. But gosh, if they're a three-win team from a year ago, you're asking a lot. Four different primetime games for the Chicago Bears, a team that had the first overall pick before they traded it away in the NFL draft. And my last one, gosh, there's a lots of Jets football. On
yeah, a lot of Jets.
A lot of Jets everywhere. schedule on the wall. Don't be bad. Like, don't stink.
I'm asking you
because it's enough with the hype and it's enough with all the talk. This is the first time the Jets are having a Sunday night game.
Yep.
Since week 10, 2011.
Wow. Sanchez?
That's LaDainian Tomlinson in the backfield. That is Rob Ninkovich. That, of course, is the Sanchez, who has had better moments than games against the Patriots, of course.
Boy.
But we're looking at some real vintage stuff. This might as well be in black and white. That's the last time the Jets have been on primetime. And yet, look at these primetime games. Week one, we're like, NFL's like, chips are all in. Monday Night Football, we're going with you. Week four, Sunday Night Football. That's the first time since 2011 they'll be on Sunday Night Football. Then Justin Herbert and the Chargers come to town. And then, of course, you've got this Vegas trip at Las Vegas, which is a week before the F1 in Vegas. So if you're looking for a fun trip, that might be a nice one here. Raiders, Jets, and that one. And then Thursday Night Football at Cleveland. Gosh, Jets, I know it's been a while since you've been relevant. I know it's been a while since you've been in the playoffs. But, like, we're excited now. This is May, just seeing him smiling and, like, this angelic character.
Yep.
It makes no sense in some of us to see the Jets be the team. Yet, if you've looked at history, the Jets have been pumped up before. They haven't always fulfilled expectations. Jets, please be good. There's a lot of you on primetime, and this market sure needs you. Kyle, schedule on the wall. We disrespect the Rams. We love the Bears. And we pray that the Jets are at least relevant come the end of the season.
I'm looking at the Rams, and I'm thinking, what's watchable about the Rams? And immediately, McVay is incredibly watchable. Peter, for a few years now, Sean McVay has flirted with this idea of joining broadcasting. I might do it, I might not. Is it possible there's a punitive factor here that people are tired of this BS and be like, fine, you don't want to join us? Then you're not going to join us on the air either. And they're having the book thrown at him and the primetime schedule because he won't join the media.
I was trying, you know,
I have a theory.
That's a great take.
Thank you.
The truth of the matter is, I'm trying to think of why. Like, why? You've got Cup, you've got this team. They're even last year on Thursday Night Football, Baker Mayfield's beating the Raiders. They have this heroic thing. They're on Christmas. They beat the Broncos
in
National.
Stadium.
Great looking stadium. Yeah. Punitive over the McVay stuff. Punitive over everyone not liking that they went all in with their picks and now they've got to pay the piper.
Yeah.
Is it a St. Louis thing where it's like, you know what? We don't like the fact that all went down and we're going to make you pay for it. I don't know. Rams? And they might as well lean into it or just lay under the radar, but they are one of the least primetime seeing teams in all of football.
Schedule on the wall, Peter. You are the fairest one of them all.
Let's go.
Appreciate you. Let's go. Coming up, it'll be a new era for fans in Washington. We're going to get all the details pending the sale of the Commanders. That's next. And you're going to say hi to Will Selva.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, You're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Will Salva, and welcome back to Good Morning Football. And the Panthers will hold mandatory mini camp beginning today, a chance for the veterans to get on the field with the rookies for the very first time. Over the weekend, Bryce Young got in some work at the rookie mini camp. Head coach Frank Reich saying Young will work with the second team, while veteran Andy Dalton will take the one reps. But Reich was impressed from what he saw out of his rookie QB this weekend.
You can just see him throwing the football out there, how easy it is for him. You know, a couple of us coaches were talking. We like to talk about, you know, low RPM mode, you know, where it's easy for him. You can see that. But, right, it'll pick up on Monday. It'll pick up on Monday. Getting the vets out there, there will be challenges. There will be bumps and there will be ups and downs. But excited to get to work.
Well, in other news, the partnership led by Josh Harris has entered into a purchase and sale agreement with Commanders owners Dan and Tanya Snyder to buy the franchise. Now, in April, the Harris Group reached an agreement to purchase the Commanders for a league record $6.05 billion. The agreement is subject to NFL approval by a vote of at least three-fourths of the league's owners. That vote of the owners for sale approval expected to take place next week at the Spring League meeting in Minnesota. Harris, of course, already part owner of the New Jersey Devils and the Philadelphia 76ers. So a new era about to dawn there in Washington, mm-hmm. Jamie and guys.
So immediate opinion of the Commander sale when it came up was that the relief that fans felt, I think, to have like an ownership group that had already owned other sports franchises and that like they're in the game, which Will Salva just mentioned, they have the Devils and the 76ers. So, Peter, your thoughts on what this sale means to Josh Harris and company?
It's a great relief, I think, to a lot of people because it could start a new era finally. We've been hearing about this, and of course, you know all the stuff with Daniel Snyder that's been going on the past few years, and it's time to turn the page. But to me, it's like an opportunity to really start new. They're talking about potentially a new stadium. They're talking about potentially new initiatives. How about, and I don't know if
go on.
The Commanders, like that to me, that's like late Daniel Snyder. Like it's got this like this image of like, okay, at the end of my era, I'm after years of saying no, I won't change the team name, I'm going to do that, and I did it. And look, I did it. I changed the team name. I don't know if any Commanders fans have some true heart and connection to that logo or that team name. Like, is now the time with new ownership and a new group involved and a diverse group involved and this chance for potentially a new stadium and a new fresh? Is now the time to change the team name yet again? again and do another rebrand with the new uniforms and say this is truly turning the page? Or do you want to keep it the Commanders? I'd be open to that discussion. I know that that Commanders fans, and I say it with quotes, I still don't feel comfortable saying
it is a little
Commanders because it's so new.
The Washington Football Club's fans.
The Washington Football Club, and of course the history with the old team, like, is now the time to really discuss this and say, let's have some new people involved, really do a branding exercise and try to find a team name that might fit the market more and also might just say, hey, something fresh, something new.
It doesn't feel like the conventional just new owner in town, well, it's just business as usual. I just think this franchise used to be so cool. When I was a little kid, it was awesome to be a fan of this team. There are people right now who are not even young people, who are in their mid-20s, who are adults, who have really no sense of that and have lived through the last 24 years of just, honestly, the football, terrible. Two playoff wins under Daniel Snyder and like all the unsavory off-the-field stuff, of course. 10 coaches since 1999? That means they fire their coach every 2.3 years. Just absolutely awful. 27 quarterbacks. When I was a kid, it was like Mark Rippon and they won the Super Bowl. And before that, Doug Williams. And then just for the last 24 years, it's always a terrible product. This occasional, they'll rise up and like sneak into a wild card game. I just remember some good football because this used to be like liking the Eagles or liking the Giants. Like, Sean, you remember? It was really cool to be a fan of this team.
Super Bowl rings.
A lot of Super Bowl rings, a lot of history, a lot of Hall of Fame players. And like, who is the signature player of the Daniel Snyder era? Who is the guy like, wow, well, they had some bad football. That guy was amazing. I don't even know. Like, there's some good players, sure.
Yeah, got great players here and there, but there's no
here and there.
Face of the London Fletcher is what I think of. Like,
it's great. Yeah. I like London. And, like, we're working hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been thin. Football, purely in football, it's been really thin. I hope we inject some life into that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I feel like, you know, anytime you see a business or a restaurant that says under new ownership, you're always like, all right, what is it? And if you walk in there and it's the same menu, you're like, all right, well, like, this is a sign. No, like, everything's got to be different. And to your point, the stadium, yes. The field has been, that's been a tough field to play on later on in the season. It is messed up. So they need new life everywhere. But if I'm Ron Rivera, like, I'm pitching to these guys, like, hey, we want championship culture around here. And then you just kind of look around the building and it's like, all right, things are a little outdated. Like, they need all of this new stuff. Like, you look around what's going on around the league, like, you've got to get with the net. And when free agents come in to visit, it's like, you can't just say, hey, I want you to come play for me. Like, there's other things that go into it.
Mm-hmm. I went to college in D.C., and I remember when I was living there, you know, coming from Minnesota and, like, understanding the history of the Vikings so well. It was strange living in this place and having the franchise feel so spread out. Like, I remember I did, like, a couple of internship days at their practice facility in Virginia, but then you go to the game, well, that's over in Maryland. But then up in Baltimore, Ravens fans are just so with it. They are locked in. They are, like, braided with everything when it comes to the flock. And you get to Washington, and everyone's not really from there. It's a very nomadic city. And so I think, unfortunately, any sports franchise in D.C. has to work a lot harder to make it about Washington. And I just don't think the Commanders or the football team, like, they don't do much to really warrant this, like, we are about Washington. But, like, what is, I think if you tap into that, so maybe this sale will bring that. And just, like, unfortunately, that might mean, like, flushing, like, whole departments worth of, like, people with new ideas that are from D.C. or something that gives us a little bit more identity.
Yeah. Well, nothing's more spread out than L.A., and look what the Rams have accomplished.
Right. You know,
they have an identity, and they've built on it, and Washington should do the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Currently on the trending list on Twitter, we have Zelda. There's a new game coming out. Doyle Brunson, rest in peace. And Kendall, although no one at this table has seen Succession last night, Kendall is being talked about. What else will be talked about in this National Football League of ours? Here we're going to throw out some topics, and then we'll write down on our whiteboard what our tweet response would be to this topic. Topic number one. While it might have raised some eyebrows when the Detroit Lions drafted Jahmyr Gibbs with the 12th overall pick and then started pounding tables, the rookie running back doesn't seem to mind. He told reporters, hey, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I really don't care. I like it. Mm-hmm. Jahmyr Gibbs might be a running back to burst on the scene this season, but tell us yours with the hypothetical hashtag breakout running back. Peter, what would you tweet in response to that topic?
Breakout running back. I love this because when it comes to fantasy football, you're always looking for that guy who you might have to draft in the later rounds, but then ends up being a stud. Pride of first Nebraska Kearney, then Mount San Antonio, then Arizona State.
Do it.
Then a third round pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Rashad White. I love this guy's game, and I love the message the Buccaneers made through free agency and through the draft. What did they do? Well, Leonard Fournette's no longer with the squad. Rashad White is, and everyone thought that they would draft a running back on day one or day. No, this is our guy. Rashad White's our dude. They beefed up their offensive line in a lot of ways. We know we love the big boy Cody Mauch, who's going to be next to Ryan Jensen now, and they're going to be blocking and making holes for this guy. Rashad White is my breakout running back. I would expect him to be the top 10 when it comes to NFL rushing leaders this season.
He was perfect also with his daughter in Angry Runs, the picture.
Yes.
well, right? In the spirit of not being able to name that singular Washington player that over the last 30 years that provides any impact, how about Brian Robinson Jr., your running back that almost had 1,000 yards rushing last season, 797, but that was just in 9 starts. So easily could have convinced that over the first 4 games that he missed because he suffered an injury. He was shot in the leg in preseason due to a carjacking, and it became this really amazing story, the video of him coming back in the building and Ron Rivera hugging him and people so thrilled to see him. It was a tragic, tragic thing to happen to this rookie out of Alabama who has suffered other tragedies in his life. His home was in the path of a tornado at one point. His mother raised him admirably with many sisters in his house. Like, just an incredible fortitude this young man has, not only in the game of football, but now he's playing for Washington. Eric Bieniemy is now there as the offensive coordinator. What could Brian Robinson do for the Commanders to make a name for himself?
Brian Robinson, he runs with a lot of power. Some might call it pop. So I'm going to go Isaiah Pacheco. Oh. And listen, we're calling this a breakout running back. So a lot of people are like, well, we know Isaiah
Super
Pacheco.
Super Bowl was
a
pretty good breakout, right?
Of course, he had a great breakout postseason. But I'm talking about regular season. You go back and you look at the Chiefs last year, he had 100-yard rushing game, right? He only had one game where he had 22 carries the entire year. So he didn't really break out until the end of the season. You were talking about fantasy football, Shregs, with Rashad White. I think if you look at Pacheco, this guy could easily be a first or second round drafted guy in a fantasy league. And I think when you look at the impact he's going to have on this offense, the style that he's also great out of the backfield. He had 59 receiving yards in the game. Pacheco, breakout. He's going to run through people. Be ready.
Don't mind it at all. Of course, went to Rutgers, as you did, Sean.
Yeah, that's right.
Coming up, the pressure's on for these quarterbacks headed into new season. Who's feeling the most heat? We discuss later. Heat will rock you. Heat will roll you. Dak Prescott, right after this.
Heat is on.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is a three-step drop, right?
Yeah.
Game. Before we get started, here's a look at some of the teams with the most primetime games in 2023. Shregs covered this a little bit earlier in the show. Chiefs, Bills, Cowboys, Chargers. They each have a half a dozen. Then there's a bunch of teams with 5 each. You can see them right there. Packers, Vikings, Niners. Okay. The first step in our three-step drop is as follows. Which one of these primetime darlings up in the monitor has the quarterback with the most on the line this season? We'll have 3 minutes on the clock. Peter, you go first.
Well, you said I look like a guy who would be on a yacht. One guy who I know will not be on a yacht because it's just not his style is Kirk Cousins. And I would say he's got the most on the line this year, and it's because of the contract situation. Basically, he's making $35 million this year, and he doesn't have a year after this. He's a free agent. That's what it is. And A lot of talk was about the Vikings potentially trying to move up to even number one early in the draft process, go get the quarterback of the future. They ended up getting a quarterback in the fifth round named Jaren Hall out of BYU. I know they're excited about Jaren Hall, but Cousins, it's not really make or break. It's do what you got to do to earn another contract, and not only if not the Vikings, but in the league. This guy has made just about as much money as any quarterback in football over the last 5 to 7 years, and he's got a chance to hit pay dirt again. But I think as far as your legacy and what you're known for, Kirk Cousins needs to win a couple more big games, has to win another playoff game, and I think there's no excuses this year as he goes forward with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's got to finish. Same thing goes with my guy, Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. I think he's in that same category right now with Kirk Cousins. It's like, all right, well, you're great during the regular season, paper champs, as they call it, and then what are you doing in the postseason?
Sean, I think they're the same player at this point.
Yeah.
They're really interchangeable, almost identical.
Yeah, I feel like, and also, not always their fault. You know, like,
sure.
Kirk Cousins has thrown for 400 yards, and you know what? Hey, the L goes towards his stat. I think for Dak, the interesting thing about this year for him, all right, Dalton Schultz loses him. Kellen Moore's out as offensive coordinator. So Mark Carthy's still there, but how does that change everything? Like, so there's more pressure and more on the line for him this year, because I feel like they're going to ask him to do more. No Zeke Elliott, Tony Pollard coming back from injury. Yeah, Dak's got a lot riding on it.
He does. I'm gonna go maybe the most mysterious man in football. I'm going to go down here.
Yeah.
There's such extreme reactions waiting to pounce for Jordan Love. We want answers from this guy, and I think he's a sympathetic figure, and I'm rooting for him personally. I think the masses and the media wants a take from him. Like, we want an A or an F. And I think there will be very strong takes on the first game against the Bears, if they win or they lose, and it's like automatically going to be like, now we've had our 30-year run and we're into nuclear winter with the rest of the group. Or if he goes and wins this game, it's like another 12 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play. And look, they helped him out with the contract a little bit and everything, and that's great. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. But like, it's also like, we talk about Jay Fiedler had to follow Marino. He had to follow Rodgers and Favre. Like, this is a very, very difficult ask, and it's all, well, he's been sitting there for 3 years. They moved up in the first round. He should play excellent. A lot of pressure on Jordan Love, and a very unconventional kind of pressure.
Unconventional to see the Jets in prime time, and specifically I look at the Week 4 Sunday Night Football game against the Chiefs. It's like, hey, it's been 13 years since you were on Sunday Night Football. The last time we saw it was against the Patriots. You got beat. Good luck, essentially. Like, we know what Aaron Rodgers is about. We know about him, but like, we don't know him in that jersey. We don't know him in that green. Mm-hmm. We don't know him in prime time with this team. That's the reason why I think that team down in the bottom right corner got that many primetime games, is because for better or for worse, it's going to be good to watch it no matter what time it's on. Moving on to our second step, which one of these teams do you have the most questions about? Not the quarterback, the team.
Team, I'm going the New York Giants, Sean's old squad. Big Blue, I think last year they surprised a lot of folks, and Brian Daboll was NFL's coach of the year for that incredible ride that they had. Actually won a playoff game in Minnesota. But now it's not the surprise upstart team. Now they're a team with a target on their back. And, I don't know if Saquon's going to be on the field come the fall. I would assume he is. But right now they're in a contract impasse. And the schedule is not one that is a cakewalk. It is not a bottom of the division standings schedule. It's one that puts them right in place with, you know, all the other heavies of the NFC, including 7 out of the 10 first games being on the road. Daniel Jones is a $40 million a year quarterback on paper. Is he a $40 million quarterback in real life?
Mm-hmm.
Is that guy worth $40 million a year? Or did the Giants just kind of settle on this and say, well, it's good, we'll kind of do it for a couple years, then we'll reassess in a few? Mm-hmm. I have a lot of questions about the Giants. Last year was a great, magical season. Are they ready to run that back, or are they going to take a step back this year?
Yeah, it's always a tough question right there. You're never going to start off where you ended the last season, so big question marks. I got the same question about the Minnesota Vikings, right, who actually lost to the Giants in the playoff game. And I look at the quarterback position, we just talked about Kirk Cousins. But I kind of look at this offense, the identity. I felt like Dalvin Cook kind of disappeared last year at times. I don't know how that's possible. You have the best receiver in the game, arguably, in Justin Jefferson. And yet, in a playoff game, he was basically a non-factor in the second half of the season. So definitely some questions there offensively. And then defensively, they just traded Za'Darius Smith. So I don't know what that defense is going to look like. Mm. They went out and got Brian Flores. They were awful last year defensively. So I think that's going to be something to look forward to in that division.
I'm going to go right here, bring it in. A lot of questions about the Raiders. We feel like we know Josh McDaniels really well because he's been in our life for 20 years. It's a really interesting sample size as head coach. It's not great. And last year, whatever, it's 1 year. Let's see where we go from here. The Garoppolo thing is always interesting. The defense thing is always interesting. Here's questions I have about him. Next year, around August, when we start to do division predictions, who's going to win this? I don't think anyone will pick the Raiders to win first place in the division. Is anyone going to pick them second? Is anyone going to pick them third? You're in a team where it's Super Bowl champs, in the playoffs, Sean Payton in Denver, and then there's just the Raiders with the bland Garoppolo kind of hummus deal and Josh McDaniels, who's not proven anything as a head coach. So they're exciting and they're sexy and they have a lot of primetime games. Who's picking them in that division to finish second or third? Honestly, second. You think they're going to be in front of the Broncos and the Chargers? I hope so. I just don't know what the identity is. I have no idea.
Thank you for leading me to mine because I went with the Chargers as well. Because, like, are they third? Are they fourth? Are they second? You can't figure them out. Justin Herbert is a part of this quarterback draft class. Like, you just assume he's going to make a ton of money for a lot of years, but, like, why a little? I mean, he hasn't done the things, the convincing things that the Josh Allen and the Joe Burrows of the world have done, the Patrick Mahomes of the world have done. The Chargers in general, like in the LA market, Lightning McQueen. I mean, you have an entire like fan base that thinks that doesn't know your logo. Granted, the Titans fans, like that was an incredible social media video once again.
It really was.
Somebody
good.
Called it Lightning McQueen, that bolt. So like the questions just in general about the Chargers, but that division is curious about not just, we know who's first, it's who's second, third, and fourth.
Six primetime games for the Chargers.
Six!
Yeah.
Did the right teams get rewarded with the most primetime games, do you guys think, in 2023?
I don't know why the Packers got 5 primetime games. I know they're intriguing, but they weren't a playoff team last year, and they lost Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard. I would assume that the national media and the fan base of the Packers carries a lot of the weight here. But once you're through the first couple weeks of the season, is there still that great interest in Jordan Love? I think, okay, what are they as a team? Matt LaFleur, you know, sink or swim, pal, now. You know,
it's a risk this many games for this team.
It's a lot. 5 games for an Aaron Rodgers-less Packers. I'm not saying they're not going to be watchable. I'm not saying they're not going to be good. I just think it's a big amount of trust in that logo. Mm-hmm. I think we're basing it on the logo and like the Packers and the drama of the Rodgers or no Rodgers. Now, I get the Jets having 5 with Rodgers, but you're putting that Green Bay Packers team on national television 5 times without us having a case study of how they're going to look. They could be putrid without Rodgers. They could be fine. I don't know. It seems like they got a lot. And again, I'll bring it up. I said it earlier in the show. The Packers get 5 primetime games. The Los Angeles Rams get 2. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like at the end of the season, people are either going to love Jordan Love or they're going to hate him.
The word love was used.
Jordan hate would be a bad name.
Twice. I'm looking at the Raiders on this list right here, and you were just talking about all the questions, the unknown.
A lot of questions.
Like, I mean, they had some great theater last year, a couple of weird plays at the end of the season. They have the NFL's rushing leader right now. That's is anybody talking about that?
Yeah. No.
Josh Jacobs. I don't think we said his name at all this
season. Didn't amount to much.
And yet the guy led the league in rushing. We don't know what the quarterback situation is. Josh McDaniel is, you know, he's on his second stint now in that same division. And to your point, we know who's won. Like, they could finish last, for all we know. Mm-hmm. And having that many primetime games towards the end of the season, if you're not doing well, it's going to be a hot seat there.
No doubt. Is it all right to say I feel good? I don't look at it. You know what it feels like? In the middle of May, when we're just months removed from football and months till, it's like I'm crawling through the desert and someone gives me a tray of food and I'm like, too much mashed potatoes. No, I'll take whatever the hell you got. Like, all of these teams, some of them, I don't even know if I'm going to identify them. Some of them have it's going to be fun to be on primetime because of the disaster factor. And it could be, it's always good theater, and they're not great teams, and they haven't earned it, but it's always really dramatic. You can probably take your assumptions of who I'm talking about. I feel great about these. I want to see most of these, and I'm kind of cringing to see a couple of them. So I think that's the perfect mix.
I kind of went there, but then I went what teams I wish were on this list and what teams that I feel like got shortchanged, which we all know how we feel about the South, the AFC and the NFC South. They are the two divisions that don't have any games more than 4 primetime games all season. But why isn't the AFC North on this screen whatsoever? Cincy, Baltimore, the Steelers, the Browns only have 2. They're on that list, but this division is the one that's the besides the South and the AFC and NFC, they don't have more than 5. And that's an odd thing to say about the Bengals. We're going to talk about the Bengals at the top of next hour. The Ravens, that's great TV. Lamar Jackson and Odell Beckham Jr. I didn't really understand. Those are great rivalry games, like classic matchups that no matter what, good, bad, ugly, like they produce great games. So I'm a little surprised that somebody from that division didn't have representation up here.
Yeah, Ravens Steelers always.
Yeah, I mean, put Joe Burrow on TV. We're watching. Yes. It's an interesting choice, but absolutely. If only we could talk to some of the schedule makers and get the method behind their madness.
Yeah, who are they?
We have those people coming on later in the show. That was the tease. That was the television tease. Just got Aaron Rodgers speaking of teams and guys that are in prime time, that's where they are, the Jets. They've immediately, like, the ink dried, and they're like, how many times can we get this team in prime time?
I've got thoughts.
Good. I like to hear that.
How about this guy?
We all have thoughts on him. We all have heart emoji eyes for him. That is former Australian rugby star turned NFL superstar Jordan Mailata. We go way back with this guy. Right after the break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.